Welcome to Security Architecture Podcast, where we help cybersecurity professionals to stay ahead of the curve and ensure they are successful in their cybersecurity journey.
Hi, I'm Evgeny.
I'm Dimitri.
We have a pleasure today to talk to Moti from Surf. Moti, can you please tell us about yourself and the company?
Thank you very much for having me and good afternoon. My name is Moti Yakov. I am based here in London. I am the co-founder and CEO of Surf Security. We recently got out from Stealth. Just a little bit about Surf and myself. In the last 20 years, I was CISO of various security tools. And there is a sheer number that of new security tools that you need to deploy and to be aware of to get effective coverage of every challenge or vulnerability, really reducing the attack surface. And in many cases, we, the security people, the CISOs inside the company, we became a blocker. And in some places, they say, you know, security slow us down. And there was always talking about what I felt, that there is a trade-off between security and agility. So as a CISO myself, as a practitioner all my life, I was trying to build a solution that will answer my pain as a CISO and my other fellow CISO. I also created a community here in the UK of a CISO that called Cyber Kingdom. It have like more than 200 CISO and security experts from varying and companies here in the UK. And we were thinking, what will be the right choke, defense, powerful point that we can collapse all the security stack into one power control point? And me and Ziv, my co-founder, we think that browser is that point. And in the last 10 years, the world of browsing was standardized around Chromium. So we took the Chromium open source made by Google, which is used both by Edge and by Google Chrome. And we built on top of it a single point solution. It gives a significant advantage when you consolidate all of this control into one single point. It's given significant advantage to our clients in cost, simplicity, and also coverage of the solution. That's Surf in a very nutshell. I will be happy to explain more.
Thank you, Moti. It was very interesting to learn about your background. And let's start with our questions. Our first question, and I'm assuming that because you knew you just launched and you're out of Stealth, you would have just one product under your umbrella. How do you call this product?
So it calls Surf Zero Trust Browser.
Very simple name. Nice. So we are podcast about architecture. And I wanted to ask, can you please explain about the architecture of your solution, how it's actually working? And if you want to share any slides, feel free to share as well.
Yeah, so I will be happy to share a slide together with you. Let me share it. So this is Surf in very much high-level design of the system. So you can see here that there are two ways, like what the user experience. And one of the top things that we were thinking from the beginning is to make the user experience as best as possible. We didn't want to have rejections from users that are actually going to use it in the company. We wanted to make it smooth for them. We wanted that they will keep their privacy, that they will see the benefit of using this browser. And the feedback that we are receiving is that, hey, it simply look exactly like Chrome. It behaves exactly like Chrome. And it have all the capabilities that I need, but it have extra security. So I actually feel more secure when I'm using Surf. So in the start, the user have kind of device posture checks. So we can check for several components or we can just disable it. All these device posture check, when the user is running, it's before he's actually able to log in, are done continuously. So it's not just one-time check before like you had in the VPN back then in the time. It's a continuous checks all the time that these files are always exist and that this antivirus process is also running in the memory. So we can check for registry key. We can check for an antivirus specific one if you want to have. We can check if specific file exists, if a certificate exists, and if a process is running in the memory, etc. After this area is being verified, we are trying to authenticate you with the IDM. And then we are actually supporting all the identity provider. It's led by Okta, which control most of the enterprise corporate. They are also one of our investors. So I'm just mentioning this as a thing to have. And we have also support for Azure AD, of course, Google Workspace, and the other players in the market of identity management. So after you authenticate, username, password, most of the cases MFA, we actually know the identity behind the browser. So we give the browser, it's not just now someone accessing a website, someone accessing a resource. We have authenticated user. So we know for every session that now this user have, the identity of this person behind it. It's authenticated, it's valid. We can also, and this is one of the things that we show, if a website doesn't have MFA internally and you want to have additional MFA, you want to create a transactional MFA for a specific use cases or a specific file inside your SaaS or internal hosted infrastructure, we can also create this thing just by, because we can talk back to the IDP and create the MFA hookup that will ask the user for another MFA when they're accessing something. And then after the user is authenticated, you can see it here. It's look and feel the same. I'm using the browser all the time and we are actually giving the same user experience exactly like you will have in Chrome. It's the same look and feel. The first thing you are doing after you log in, you can actually import your personal or company profile and work together with this. And we have a differentiator between the authentication side and the profile side. And then you can have, of course, in addition to your bookmarks and everything, we are giving you a privacy mode that I will be happy to explain and show later how we actually do it. We are not sending the browsing history. This is one of our, I think, main advantages, especially coming from the European region when privacy is very important to employees. So we didn't want to create a spyware. We don't want to spy after the employees. We are trusting them. So we are not sending the web history, but we are sending other telemetry that can help the organization to understand and respond and to the employee to communicate with the security team in a very nice way. We, by default, block any ads. So the way that the system works before it's actually coming into the Blink, into the rendering engine inside Chromium that is being used by any other browser, before it's coming, we can actually decide what we want to render and what's not. So we are not removing it after it was rendered and then we are putting an X on the screen. We are simply just deciding specific area that we don't going to render. So we are not processing them. We are not rendering them. And that's, I think, one of the screening that we are doing for every component that is being downloaded to the computer. In addition to this, we created a safe browsing environment. So everything that is done from the user in his interaction with any website or with the computer, we can actually control every aspect. We can control something like that you can call like kind of an air gap. We can control what we process, what not. We can control egress, but also ingress of every data. So what the user is downloading, like if he can download specific file, if he's going to encrypt it, how much time they will stay on the endpoint. And if there is be an idle and if the user is now leaving the company, we can also delete it. And on the other hand, we can control everything related to shadow IT. For example, so if now the user accidentally just upload a file to a wrong location, or he took a file from the Workday or Salesforce and he put it now on his private Gmail, this is something we can prevent, not only detect, prevent and alert and to have it happen. We have some kind of malware protection, so we can scan every file that's being downloaded from our browser. The browser is also creating local storage on the computer, that everything that downloads there is encrypted. We also support company cloud storage, or we can use any of the big vendors that the company is using, like OneDrive, Google Drive, Box, etc.
Marty, I understand that you can do SSL inspection, you can look in files, block URLs. Is this done locally on the browser, or it's done somewhere in your cloud, for example?
No proxy, no service. Everything done on the endpoint, everything done on the browser. If we are now down, the only difference for the end user is that the CISO cannot push new policy. That's it. Everything that is, we are not saving username and password. Everything is done directly with the IDP. We are just allowing to create the policy and then to push it to the endpoint.
How would you know that a new URL just added, it need to be blocked, for example? Is all the policies going on the endpoint? Or it need to go back to the management center to check for this?
We have a system that automatically when a website is being downloaded in the first time, we can actually analyze it. If the company decided to block a website based on category or based on a specific restriction that they put, it will be blocked directly based on a database or things that inside, for example, the browser local database, and then it will be blocked. So we are by default have connection to feeds that actually allow us to know that this website is malicious, etc. But I want to take it to the other side. What happened if a user is now using our browser and is going into a malicious website? Is going into a website that is not supposed to happen? I think that this is one of the benefits of using a secure browser, is that this website is actually running inside the sandbox, inside a specific dedicated process, and it cannot get out. It's everything that is being downloaded, like drive-by download, everything malicious that this website is trying to do to the user will not happen.
Moti, how the system know this particular website is malicious?
So it's, we are rendering every website. It doesn't mean that the website can have any access. So let's get an example that you are actually going into a malicious website. This website is, for example, trying to do drive-by downloads. Okay, one of the easiest and something that is very common. When he will try to use the JavaScript and drive download it to your computer, it will actually might not download. It will not work. The functionality that's being rendered now in our engine will block it.
So you do a local isolation, basically.
Yeah, of course.
But the question here is, if there is some type of exploit, right, would it happen? But it will happen in the isolated environment, so it cannot escape outside of the context of the browser, or you actually will block it from happening?
Yeah, so that's correct. We will not render it. What the actually happening on locally on the computer is when this information is being downloaded. We decide what to render and what not. After this is rendered, we are actually reflecting inside the computer, like an image, like a pixel moving, what used to be in the past with an RBI solution. We are doing it locally on the computer. So in most of the website that you actually visit, you don't put any information. You don't upload to this website any information. So it's like a read-only. So imagine like you have a read-only file. We are using our, let's say, external browser, which is actually locally hosted as the place to render it. And if something happened, it's happened in this process. In the moment that you will close the tab or after a specific time, this process is dead. And then everything that happened there is also being vanished.
So what you're saying is that you're bringing the RBI locally. So you have like dual stage capabilities.
Yeah. Where you have. So our solution is a technology advanced from VDI solution. In the VDI solution, you had to install an agent and then you were actually connecting to a server. In the remote browser isolation solutions, you are going to a website, and through this website, you are actually coming to air. We are using a new technology that exists just in the last 3 years based on Chromium Open to actually allow you to have the same security level that you had in most of the use cases of VDI and RBI locally on your computer. We could have done it 4 or 5 years ago. It just was not possible technology-wise. The problem with previous methodologies like VDI and RBI is the cost of the infrastructure, but also the user experience. The user experience was very important for us. And we were thinking as a CISO, as I told you in the start, I don't want to be the blocker. I want to be the enabler in the company, okay? We were thinking how we can actually enable them to go to any website. And in most of the cases, they don't need to put any other information. So it's not about blocking a website. It's preventing the risk to the company. It's about reducing the attack surface that can come from surfing the web.
You mentioned you have an options to connect to MFA provider. Okta is one of them. What if the company doesn't have Okta or OSSO provider? Do you guys have a local database as well, I'm guessing? Or maybe you can work with Google, for example, or Azure?
Yeah, of course. We work with Google Workspace, with Azure, with local Active Directory. We can work with each one of them. If the company policy, and again, we are using the configuration that exists inside the company IDM. If the company policy is just asking for a username and password, that also may work. We recommend that company will use username, password, and a factor. The most of the time, the other factor is an OTP. So it's like Google Authenticator or MFA that will come in this way or another. But it depends really about the company policy. We are not interfering with this. What we do help them is how we take serve. And when user is accessing company resources or company sensitive resource, I want as a CISO to say, hey, so in addition to username, password, and MFA, I want this user to come only from surf browser. So you are actually adding like the fourth factor that the user must have the surf browser in order to get. Okay. And we are doing everything in the background. We're exchanging keys between the company IDP, and we create this conditional access inside the company existing IDP that when a new resource is being trying to be accessed, it will be asked to be verified with that he actually have the key that surf have for this session. Of course, we have a very easy to use SaaS admin dashboard. It can also have logs. It can also use to communicate with the endpoint. We also added telemetry that company can use that is not really security. It can be use case about performance of the endpoint. It can be CPU, memory, disk, networking, any other issue we can actually also collect and use here. Because when you look at this, so the user is can actually know that in the environment that he is now surrounded, he have the capability first to go to any website, but he can access company resource directly from the browser. So instead of going now to, let's say, Jira or doing all the SSO stuff, we can do it directly from the browser. That means that instead of going now to the company portal, I can directly write Jira and then I can access Jira. I can directly wiki and then I get to the company wiki or company portal or my Workday or my Salesforce or my HubSpot. Any other solution that I have or that is being used in the company, no matter if it's internally or it's externally, we can actually allow you to access directly from the browser.
Is this and because of the SSO integration or because of what?
So first, yes. So first we have an SSO integration to an exist. If you have existing SSO, like, as I said, Okta, Ping, OneLogin, Azure AD, and Google Workspace, so we actually also support this. We actually support also the new one, the Linux one as well. And based on this, we can allow you access, but we can also allow you to create the SSO from our browser configuration. And then when the user is trying to access to a specific resource, we can communicate back and we will do it for you through the way. Because one of the things we know is we know that you now logged in into the browser. So once you have this first login, we allow you the access to web services, web resources in a much better and smooth way. What I wanted to show you here is some of the capabilities we have. And they are all features that exist that allow the security administrator to manage their policy in a much easier way. Each policy can be per user, per group, or for all the company, or combination of groups. And what we are seeing is, for example, like phishing, we can prevent users putting their company credentials in, literally limit them to a specific website. So as I told you before, because we are just read-only in the external rendering, what we can actually control here is we know what username the user is actually having. We know the identity of the user. So if you're now going to a very spear phishing website and you are now using Surf and you will try to put your company credential, boom, it will not work. We will actually never transfer it to the company because we know that this is not a domain that you're supposed to put the company credential. One of our design partners was really suggesting, he said, yeah, a huge number of employees, more than 10,000 employees that in his company. And he was like, struggling with a number of users that it's less than 1%, but they will always lured and put their company credential into such website. And the advantage of our solution, you can actually whitelist the domains that users are allowed to put it. Of course, that in addition, we are having a reputation database that we are collecting if you are not using it. So we can know that, you know, Fish Tank and other, that this website is not valid and it's not a place that you're supposed to put your credential. But if you limit to specific domain, and when you think about it, there are, in most of the companies, it's up to 5 domains where the user is supposed to put the company credentials. We are not handling the subhost or the host one.
What is it, the credentials or it's any input?
It's credentials.
But I cannot go up like any input, like uploading files.
You can. Web browser in most of organizations today is the operating system. Everything is done in the browser. So you can control with our solution any input to any field. We have a regex inside the every configuration. And you can actually block specific input or specific information.
How your technology would work with existing security web gateways or SSE technology? Does it like complement or it replaces it?
So it depends about the granularity that the company have. So we offer a basic secure web gateway built in inside the browser. Okay. But if you want to extend it, or your company need a specific expertise or information that exists for any of this policy management, we can work together with them. And we have, you can see here in the technical integration, some companies want, for example, to send it to a specific SIM provider. Some companies want to work with their existing EDR and antivirus provider. Some companies use web categorization, like you can see here, that it already exists. So we are not coming to replace them. We work complementary with them. But again, in the built-in, the information we have here, if you have a company and you want to provide a very strong policy, we can cover it all. And yep, this is also one of the advantage that when, if most of the work is done in the browser, we can allow you to reduce the amount of additional security tools in your tech stack or your security stack. And then instead of making it around the browser, we make it inside the browser. So the process is sitting and preventing, not just detecting the attack from the browser itself. And if you want, for example, I can give just in the second one, the granularity that we allow you is that you can allow for Yevgeny, for example, not downloading any file to his computer. So not downloading even to the secure host, or not downloading even to the company cloud. Just when you allow him access, he can just view and see it. One on the other hand, when you are downloading file, and if you will look on your download folder, you will see payslips, you will see passports, you can see many information that you download. And what we saw, that hackers, the first thing that they do when they hack to any employee, they go to this download folder. What we did, we can by default encrypt every file that you download from company resource or any file that you download from anywhere. So if now the user is going to his website, he's actually encrypting a file locally on his computer. So if there is a malware on this computer, like in bring your own device situation, or the company doesn't have EDR, or the EDR is not functioning well, this file that the user now downloaded is encrypted. And every file is encrypted with a different key. We don't know the password. You don't know the password. The user doesn't know the password. So it's a very nice thing. And you know, we can technically also discuss it further, but we allow you to access the file only from the browser. So after you authenticate to the browser, we allow you to come and view this file.
Where is the encryption key?
So use the company Vault to host the encryption key, and we have a cache of the latest files. So the user can actually control if he want to keep it locally. So he can use it and we enclave it inside the memory. We did a really nice thing about how to allow the user a smooth experience when he just double click on a file, and then he can work locally. For example, if he's in a flight, and then when he's landing, he can just upload it back. So he doesn't need to have an internet connection while working on a specific file. The other thing that we have is that, you know, we created file scarping prevention. So we prevent user, it's something that also exists in many EDRs, but sometimes user in the first day, in the last day, they download a lot of file and you want to be alerted and block it. So we are actually allowing you to define any configuration of number of files that user download and for the amount of time. And when this match, the user cannot download any more files. So that's something that we were looking.
Moti, you mentioned that you do basically local browser isolation. Is this done for all the URLs, or usually you select certain URLs because all the isolation is probably impacting the CPU of the laptop?
We didn't see any impact to the CPU of the laptop or the device. There is no impact here. There is actually, when we compare it to my browser, because we are not rendering everything, from the speed and the user experience, it's just look the same. What we adding here is, because we are doing this, let's say, what you call local isolation, we are not preventing the user to go to any website. So you can go to any website you want.
Tell me more maybe about BYOD devices, right? I mean, we know that everyone moved to work in some type of hybrid mode right now, working from home, or they even working on mobile devices, which are not necessarily laptops, right? Tablets or their phones to access, in many cases, work or enterprise-related assets or artifacts.
Of course, that's where we started. We started and when we were thinking about the remote workforce, how we actually allow remote workforce to join. And of course, this also, it sometimes comes from people, it's much more easier for them to work with their own device. How you can allow bring your own device policy inside the corporate access and to have it. So there was a company that was named Good, and they build a solution to allow employees to access emails in the company assets, or later got acquired. But what Good did was to create a contained, isolated, and encrypted environment in the device, in their case was mobile devices, in the devices that they were being installed and deployed. And this allowed me as a CISO to use them in order to allow user now to read emails inside their own device. What Good did for the email, we want to do for the web. Everything that you download is into the computer, everything that you work in the computer, the processes, the files, the access, the network, everything is being contained, encrypted, and isolated.
Let's switch gears a bit. So extensions are very, very popular in browsers.
Yeah.
And people like their own extensions. It could be the password management. It could be something else. And we know in some cases, extension may change different properties and access. What do you guys do, and what is your kind of approach for extensions?
Thank you. It's a great question, Evgeny. So my main problem as a CISO in my previous job in a big corporate was managing the add-on and extension on the endpoint. Because in many of the security solutions that go in with Secure Web Gateway or proxy or with routing, the user were able to bypass me by installing an extension. So there are many extensions that do anonymization, that do rerouting, that's actually allowing the user to go to any website, even if it's just blocked by the best out of the best security solution out there that installed on his computer. And the reason is, one of the first modules that we built inside Surf was this one in the middle, the add-ons and extensions module. Because when I needed to manage it in my previous job as a CISO, I needed to create a list of allowed add-ons and extensions that use for work. We need to put it inside Intune and have a registry for each one of them and then push them to all the employees. What we have here, we can actually create it directly from Chrome Store, okay, or Microsoft Store. And we can actually create a list of add-ons that I, as a CISO, can just go to Chrome Store and easily can select what kind of extension I am allowing my employees to install. And when a user is going to our Chrome Store and want now to install a malicious or something that bypass my security, it will try to install it on Surf. It will not happen. But when he will install something from the list of approved add-ons, he will be able to do so. Now, if probably it's something that he needs for his work, he can, when he will try to install it, it will create an alert that he can also send it to the security team. And when the security team will see the alert inside dashboard, they can in one click allow this kind of extension. It will be automatically being allowed, so to all the users or the specific group. So this way we can actually allow them first to install many browser extensions, get all the updates.
So talking about this type of workflows where user can ask or can try to attempt something, and then it alerts the administrator of the system. How the organization can get visibility into reports about block attacks or, you know, blocked risks to corporate employees that were prevented by SERV technology?
We are connecting telemetry and metadata from what happened to the user, especially things that were prevented on the endpoint. And according to the company policy and the user configuration locally, you can also ask. We are sending it into our dashboard or to the company SIEM solution or log aggregation service. This can be used for the CIO or the CISO or anyone in the security team to understand better what is happening and to investigate more. But when I was a CISO in many organizations, the bigger they are, there is a huge amount of logs. And there is, in most of the cases, a limitation about the number of people that you can, or security resource that you have in your company. So someone needs to investigate this. So it creates some kind of log fatigue that you're probably familiar with. And what we try to build here is a solution that focuses on prevention, rather than just detection and creating a log and alert. There is a dashboard. You can see what are the corporate application, number of users. You can see attacks that were prevented. You can see information that was trying to be leaked that was prevented. You can see how your policy for each rule reacting, how much active the rule that you actually built, etc.
Mori, thank you very much. Is there anything else you want to add for today's podcast?
No, I'm good. Thank you very much for hosting me.
Thank you, Mori. It was a pleasure.
Thank you, Mori.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Please remember to subscribe to our podcast and join us for our next episode.